Thank you, Chris and Amanda, for that song. Just, that is my prayer for you, for each one of us as we walk into this new year, that it is well with your soul. And you know, I mean, Jesus said, in this world, there will be trouble. We know that it will be a year with challenges, with pain, with struggle, but there's going to be joy and it will as well along the way. There's the highs and the lows of all of this. And may it be well with your soul. Over the past 4 weeks, sort of those 4 weeks pre-Christmas, we celebrated Advent. We had this Advent wreath in front of us and reminded us as we week by week lit a candle. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, the word coming. And again, we celebrated the coming of Christ, celebrating, looking forward to Christ's birth. But as I look back in terms of some of the commentaries again, and we didn't really do this much, but there was a significant focus in terms of Advent for not only looking at the birth of Christ, celebrating and remembering the birth of Christ, but that Advent, that Adventus, that looking forward to his second coming, that return of Christ, where he will come back to earth as king and judge, new heaven and a new earth that he will establish. And it struck me again, in this time that we celebrated, remember, I think we talked about in one of the messages that, you know, Isaiah wrote his words, you know, for unto us a son is given, to us a child is born, some 700 plus years before the birth of Christ. Following Isaiah, then multiple other prophets, and then, of course, the host of minor prophets, finishing there the Old Testament with Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the last minor prophet of the Old Testament. But again, from the time that Malachi wrote his book, some 400 years again till Christ was born. And you talk about waiting. Thinking 400 years. You're talking five, maybe six generations, you know, the great, 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 great grandpa kind of idea. And thinking, waiting. And again, we celebrated that Advent, that looking ahead with those four candles, the candle of hope, the candle of love, the candle of joy, and the candle of peace. And as I reflected on thinking, you know, in that time of Mary and Joseph growing up in Nazareth, I don't know that they would have said those were words that were forefront in their mind. I mean, times were tough. Life was difficult. The Roman oppression, Roman oppression was ugly. I mean, it was an ugly time and people were taxed. I don't know that they would have said that hope, joy, love, peace was a primary part of their lives, their daily lives. But God had not forgotten his people. He hadn't left town without a forwarding address. God was present. We're going to see that in a person we look at this morning. And God had a plan. God had a plan, and his timing was perfect in terms of saying, this is when the Christ, the Messiah, will come, the Messiah will be born. So what is God's plan for 2017? You know, I mean, I know there are some who, I'm sure will say, well, this is a year God, you know, God's, or Christ is returning. Okay, could be. In fact, where the other evening we had my brother and his wife and Gloria's mom and dad over, and as we were talking, and the history and the stories were flying, and at one point my brother was saying he remembers distinctly as a child, he thinks about 7 and 8, when there was a farmer in the New Hamburg area, and a group of believers that gathered together was so convinced, he believed that God had told him that that was the year that Christ was going to return. And so he didn't plant any crops. He's a farmer, didn't plant any crops. And of course, got to the fall, and Ralph says, I don't remember if he, you know, what he did for that year of feeding his animals, because the next year he did plant crops again. No one knows that time when Christ will return. But we live in a sense of Advent, of looking forward to, of anticipating that coming. For some of us, for some of you, I'm sure, as we look into 2017, there is a sense of hope. Kind of like, this is going to be a good year, great expectations of what God will do in you, through you. Excitement about what God's doing in your kids and in your family. Promises, a sense of promise there of spiritual growth within you. Maybe you say, no, this year would be, I'm looking ahead with a sense of joy. There's just a joy in God's presence in my life, and there's just a joy of what God is doing in me and through me. Or maybe a sense of amazing peace. Talking to an individual recently, and just that sense of just, there's just a sense of God's presence and peace in their life, and it was just, they were just so blessed and just feeling that assurance of peace. Maybe you feel a call to work for peace in your world, in your community, in a fresh way this year. Or maybe you just feel overwhelmed again by God's love. No, it is well with my soul. Why? Because I know God's love, and it's not going to change. Four candles. And the possibility is, you know, there are times in our lives, and I suspect each one of us has been there at times when you would say, none of those candles is where I'm at right now. I'm not feeling a sense of hope or peace. I'm struggling with hope. I struggle to understand God's love for me. That just the pain and the issues I'm walking through right now is just not part of my current reality. And we've all been there. And I want to start this morning in that context. I want to have you take a few moments for some reflection and say, if I asked you, if we could set up 40, 50 candles here today, and I said, I want you to light a candle as the candle of hope. Or I want you to light a candle and say, but this is my candle of joy as I enter this new year. Or this is my candle of peace or of love. That's the candle that I would light this year to represent my entry into this year because of what God is doing in my heart. What would that candle be? So I'm just going to invite you to take 30 seconds, and then I've got another instruction after that. Just take 30 seconds and say, if I was lighting a candle today for where I'm at, for that heart state that I'm in, what would it be? Which one of those four words, four candles? Take a moment to reflect, and then I'll give you a moment to respond. All right. You may say, but I've got two or three, or I'd like to light them all. You have to choose one. And what I'm going to invite you to do is just find someone nearby, maybe a non-spouse or non-friend, you know, someone that, you know, isn't your husband or wife here. Or if there's it fits, you know, do it in threes. I just want you to find a partner, take 1 minute each, and just say, this is the candle I would light. If I was lighting a candle this morning, this is the candle that I would say is for me. It's my sense of vision, anticipation as I move into this year. This is my candle. And then switch. And you know, if you feel comfortable, take a moment to explain and say, this is why I've chosen the candle of love. This is why for me today, this is why I would light that candle. Take a moment, and then we're going to continue on with the message. Take a second. Go ahead. David, what candle would you light this year? Would you? Predicted that way. Thank you for sharing that. I don't mean to cut you off here, but that's great. And my encouragement would be, as you walk into this new year, keep in a sense that candle burning in your mind and in your heart. Let that be, in a sense, your vision for 2017. And if you say, but right now where I'm at, I can't light a candle. None of those just seem to fit. Then my prayer would be that, again, through the support of friends and this body of believers, that, you know, people come alongside you and say, you know, allow God to minister and to lift and to care for you. Waiting to see, waiting with expectation. I want us this morning to, we're just going to take 10, 15 minutes here and look at an individual who is part of the Christmas story that is not, you know, I don't see, we don't typically look at him in the Christmas story. And yet, as I read and reread this story this week, I think, oh, I would have loved to have met this guy. I would have loved to have met Simeon. And I'm going, you know, just, I always think ahead to heaven and say, there's a couple of people I just so much want to sit down with and talk to. I want to sit down with Moses. I want to sit down with Peter. And I'd like to sit down with Simeon and just say, Simeon, tell me about that day. But let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, 25 to 20 or 33. Simeon. Now, Christ has been born, just to give you context here again, if you're not sure of who Simeon was, etc. Christ has been born 8 days. Later then, they took him to the temple. The circumcision process, there's that blessing, all of the things required by the law at that 8th day. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents, i.e. Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon. What can we learn from this individual? What can we learn from the story? Because again, one of the things I say, you know, often when I read some of these stories, you know, some of these gospel writers say, you know, Luke or John, why did you include that? Because Luke is the only one who records and, you know, records this portion of the story. It's like, okay, Luke, what was it? What was in your heart? What was it about this situation that said, that has got to be put down on paper and recorded? Why did the Holy Spirit move within Luke to say this is important? What do we learn? Well, number one, Simon was waiting. He was waiting with an unusual, and I use that word specific, an unusual expectancy. And as I looked at this, I'm going, that would be my prayer for each one of us as we move into this 2017, that we wait with an expectancy for God to work and to move. Simeon, 700 years, he knew the Isaiah words, he knew the prophets, he understood, he had read those. Simeon believed that God, through the Holy Spirit, had revealed to him, you're not going to die. You will not die, Simeon, until you have seen the Messiah. You have seen the Christ. You have seen the Redeemer. And I wonder, did he talk about that to everybody he met? You know, did his family know? Did his, I don't know, was he married or not? We don't know. Did his spouse know? Did his kids know? Did people around him know of this hope? Like, did they, you know, did he talk about it all the time? You know, there's some people that that's all they talk about is that whatever focus. Scripture doesn't say. My heart says, my guess says, yep, that was Simeon. If you met him and you talked to him and you went out for Tim's, he would talk about his hope for the Messiah and that I am not going to die until I see the Christ. He, I suspect, and I, again, it's not coming out of Scripture, but I suspect that every morning he woke up and it was a little sense of, God, today, January 1st, is this the day? Is this the day that I am going to see the Christ? Not knowing the when or the where or how, but there was that hope-filled vision. I mean, he had eyes that were just waiting to see. He was waiting to see spiritually what God was going to do. He was also looking to see physically because, again, he knew, he believed within his heart that physically he was going to see the Christ, the salvation of Israel. And, of course, there was many in of the Jewish nation who were looking forward to the Messiah and waiting. But I don't know, according to Scripture, there's no indicating that there was others who had that sense of, I will not die until I see. What a way to live. He knew within his spirit that he would see Emmanuel, God with us. Every day, that sense of anticipation, that sense of hope, that sense of God, is it today? And again, it was that, think of that, the faith that took to say, I believe. God, you've revealed it to me. A sense of unwavering confidence, unwavering faith in his God. And I you know, again, although we don't, well, we'll learn a little more about Simeon in a moment here. But I don't think he ever went home at night, crawled into bed and said, God, I'm tired. It's another day gone by and you still haven't. And there was no tears, there was no ranting and raging with God. That it was just, I'm sure, just that sense of, God, I wait for tomorrow. I wait with expectancy, because tomorrow might be the day when the Savior, the Messiah, is revealed. Why could he have that kind of solid faith? Because Scripture says he was a devout and righteous man. Luke knew he was righteous and devout. Others knew, obviously, that he was righteous and devout. There was a faith there that was strong. Was life always easier for Simeon? We don't know. I doubt it. Some commentaries actually suggest that he was a priest serving in the temple. Again, there seems to be some discrepancy between who this Simeon actually was. But the beauty thing is, to me, as I read those words, if people knew that he was righteous and devout, he was not a man who lived in a closet. He didn't live in a monastery. He didn't hide himself away. He loved and he served and he walked among people and he ministered to people with that sense of confidence. I will wait. I will wait with expectancy, and I'm going to live and serve and love in a way that makes a difference today, because Christ may be here tomorrow. Waiting with hope. He loved his Lord. He kept the law of the prophets. But he had a beautiful vision for the future. A phrase that was used many of those days is, he lived with the hope of the prophets. That hope of the Messiah. The prophets said, Christ will come. He was waiting. He was also aged. Notice I didn't say old. He was aged. And again, there's no indication of his age. There's a couple commentaries talk that he was well over 100. A phrase that one commentary used, that he was uncommonly old for that time in that season of people, for that era. And what do we hear? What do we see that would suggest that? He says, this is the point where he's seen Mary and Joseph, he's seen the child, and he holds a baby and he says, now, God, you may dismiss, is the word he uses. You may dismiss your servant. It's like, class is over. I'm done. I can now go. It's holiday time. I can go home. You can take me home, Father, because I've seen your salvation. And that struck me, I guess, because I'm thinking, let's just, for a second, just flip back to the whole biblical story of the Christ birth. You've got Mary, a teenager, a young person, and yet an obedience of faith to be able to say, God, I'm your servant. Whatever you want, if I'm to carry the Christ child, so be it. Let's go. You've got Joseph, worker, laborer, not the richest man in town, wouldn't believe. Probably somewhat older than Mary. Again, a willingness to be righteous walker, follower of God. And then you've got, if we go back, the Simeons, the Zacharias. Here, Zacharias, who was Zacharias' wife? Oh my goodness. Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you. Elizabeth of Zachariah, older, shouldn't be expecting to give birth to John the Baptist. If we read the next story right after Simeon, Anna, the prophetess, another aged woman. We've got this breadth. And God, it's like God saying, it doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old. The shepherds, poor as anything, the lowest of the society. And yet they were the ones who heard the first message of Christ's birth. Just feel like God's saying, it doesn't matter who you are, old, young, aged, poor, weak, strong. I look at the heart, God says. I want a heart that's obedient and a willingness to follow, a willingness to be faithful. And status is not the key. Are you ready to be led? And Simeon was spirit-led. And this struck me as well, just fascinating, because you remember, again, we're years from Pentecost. I mean, Christ's birth. Pentecost is, 33 plus, years down the road. The Spirit had not yet been poured out in its fullness. But listen a couple verses here. This is talking about Simeon. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working and moving and touching and moving and working in Simeon's life in an unusual way. Again, giving him an ability, a desire to wait. He had a unique relationship with his God. That hope, again, was not based on a whim, was not based on something fanciful that he had read someplace. He knew within his heart that God was moving. Messiah will be born in your lifetime, Simeon. You're not going to die, Simeon, until you've seen the Christ. The when? God didn't say it. He didn't know. Where? How? He didn't know. How will I know? Wouldn't you want to know that answer? Like, how am I going to know the Christ if I even see him? And then there was that morning. That morning when what? I don't know. Was it a voice that spoke to him and said, Simeon, I need you to go to the temple? Was it just a stirring in his heart? You need to be in the temple this morning, Simeon. And I can sense Simeon going, why? God, is there someone that I need to minister to there? Is there someone I've got to care for there? Is there a need that I need to be there in the temple? What is it that you need to call me for? Why do I need to be to the temple today? But he went. He was obedient again. And some of you have been there, haven't you? That sense of the middle of the night, woken up, and you go, I need to pray for that person. There's a friend or a family member I need to pray for right now. That sense of, I need to make a phone call. I need to call that person. I haven't seen that person for a while. I need to. Is it a voice? Is it a sense? Is it just the Spirit moving within you saying, I need to do that? An awareness of a need to give. Always stories that amaze me at times where there's incredible need and people say, I wasn't even necessarily even praying about that, but God knew that need, and somebody comes at the door, or somebody puts an envelope, and there's money, or to pay a bill, and it was exactly the amount needed. You've read some of those stories, and you go, God, by your Holy Spirit, you are moving people to be obedient and to follow. And Simeon goes into the temple courts, and I can just imagine Simeon entering the courts and going, in a sense of worship, in a sense of praise, looking, observing, watching, and suddenly seeing Mary and Joseph, and knowing, I believe instantly, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ, our Redeemer. Can you imagine Mary bringing her son along with Joseph in for this fulfillment of the law, and suddenly this aged man comes over and literally envelops and takes Jesus in his arms. And I'm sure for a moment Mary was going, whoop. And then he begins to praise. Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you can now dismiss your servant, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Folks, this was a new day. Christ Emmanuel, God was with man on earth. And he just breaks out in praise. He was a spirit-led, and I believe that that is what God is calling us to. What is the impact? What do we learn? What am I learning from this story again this year? God, I believe, is saying to me, folks, Claire, I want you to be spirit-led. Live in an awareness of the Spirit of God speaking and listening through his word, through others, just in your own spirit. How is God looking to lead you and me? As a church, be spirit-led. Learning to recognize his voice in the midst of all the stuff that the world throws at us. In the midst of the mess, in the midst of the stuff, can I hear God's voice? And am I then, secondly, willingness to wait and to trust and to expect? And that's my second one. God's calling us to wait, to trust that he's got a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for this world. And he calls us to walk in step. Galatians 5:25, a verse that I believe is significant for us. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Wait. Don't want us running ahead. Keep in step. God, are you leading in this way, this way? What is it that you want to reveal to me? Where do you wish to use me? And remembering and being aware that our trust, our faithfulness, our witness of obedience is an example to others. It says that Joseph and Mary, the child's mother and father, marveled at what Simeon said. Oh, they marveled, all right. They were taking it in saying, God, thank you again for reaffirming what you are doing in this child and through this child. Do we understand it all? No, they didn't. But the witness of Simeon, his example, his words, his praise was a significant affirmation of their faith. Fourthly, and I think this is for us as a congregation, as a church, we need to be ready to move in new ways. There is a phrase that Simeon prays. I mean, this was a new day, folks. Christ had come. The world would never be the same again. This, well, we're now BC, right? There was a dividing point in history. This was a game changer time. Life would never be the same again. The law of the prophets, they were now set aside. It's a new law. It's a new time. And Simeon says this, my eyes have seen your salvation, God, in which you prepared for all of the people a light for revelation to who? The Gentiles. And I am sure there were people going around saying, for the Gentiles? This is a temple. This is a Jewish temple. What are you talking about the Gentiles for? The Redeemer? The Messiah? The Messiah is a Jew. This was a new day. And I guess I just want us to remember and think about what is God leading us into in this year as a new day? And it may not always be comfortable. It may not always be knowing, but a knowing of the Spirit of God working and leading and moving us in a direction that from a human point of view may not seem logical, but from a God point of view is right on. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Start of a new year. I believe that God's calling us to see with new eyes, to wait with expectancy, to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I think there are new ways. I believe firmly that there are new ways in which God is calling us into. New ways to serve, new ways to minister, new ways to worship. Young and old, rich, poor, that's not the issue. It's, do I have a heart that is ready to hear? God wants to lead. He wants to work in and through each one of us. Are we ready to be obedient? So I just challenge you, be a Simeon. Wait with expectancy. Anticipate God's moving. Be Spirit-led. Trust, be confident. I don't know. I'm glad that God doesn't show us what this next year is going to bring. Because I think there'd be things that we look at and we say, I don't even want to know that. I don't even want to be aware of that. Because I don't know that we could always handle that. But am I ready to walk in trust? Our God's a faithful God. He said he will never leave or forsake us. Can I live in that confidence? Can I move with that sense of hope and confidence in a God who says, I will be with you? Live with hope. Worship team.
Let's stand together.
You are my vision, O King of my heart. Nothing else satisfies, only you, Lord. You are my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, your presence, my life.
down my vision. If we can keep that as our focus, as individuals, as a church, God's ready to say, let's go. Let's go. I got places to move. I got places to use you. I got places to minister through you as individuals and as a congregation. God, be my vision. Let's read this benedictory prayer together. Macon was your work here today. It's coming. There it is. A New Year's prayer. Be thou my vision. Let's say it together. Let's pray it together. Lord, you make all things new. You bring hope to life in our hearts and cause our spirits to be born again. Thank you for this new year, for all the potential it holds. Come and kindle in us a mighty flame, the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that in our time, many will see your wonders, God, and live forever to praise your glorious name. Amen and amen. Blessings as we move into this year of 2017. Go in his peace. Amen.